Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Our special guest joining us today is Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. She's a national speaker, author, professional counselor, founder of the ABBA Project. It's a forum for dads whose daughters are in their teens and their 20s. Michelle is the host of her well-known podcast, The Dad Whisperer. Her latest book, it's out, Let's Talk, Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters. Now, Michelle, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Tim, always a pleasure and an honor to join you.
Michelle, listen, when you look in culture, you look back a couple of years, pretty bad rap when it comes to men, masculinity, getting beat up about toxic masculinity, and dads get a pretty bad rap. They still do. I don't care what people are saying. Buffoons, disengaged, nonverbal, basically non-emotional, etc. But it's one of your favorite subjects, Michelle. How did you get drawn into this?
Oh, my goodness. It was not of my choosing. It was back in December of 2009, and I was reading in Luke 1 about how Zechariah was told that his yet-to-be-born son John, who's John the Baptist, we all know, would help turn the hearts, not the heads, of fathers to their children. And I just heard God whisper to my spirit, Tim, and say, Michelle, that's what I want you to do. At the time, I was single. I'd been a clinician, a licensed professional counselor for many years. I thought, but I think you got the wrong person. I don't think I'm going to help turn the hearts of fathers. But I said, okay, God gave me an assignment. So the next month, I invited 11 dads whose daughters were my counseling clients at the time to join me once a month to see if there was a change in them, their daughter, and their relationship. We went a whole year, and the changes that I saw in those men were so incredible because I knew that they were changing, which would then have a ripple effect to benefit their daughters. And for 10 years, I did that in a row, honed it to a 9-month group. So the ABBA Project is really something that was birthed out of my counseling practice and mentoring of young women and teenagers since I was 19. And I've continued to hone that message, Tim, that dads, you matter, regardless of what the culture is telling you. God says you matter. And both you and I, Tim, have a heart and a passion to equip dads to dial in with more intention and consistency to their children's hearts. And specifically for me, it's their daughters.
Michelle, based on the work you've done, and then you look at all the research out there, which, by the way, is very significant, things like kids tend to do better on their cognitive skills. They are more strong in their female and male identities, less susceptible to peer pressure, better mental health. So much is out there. Michelle, as you've kind of scanned all that and you've interacted and led the way here, what really has your attention about the significance of dads? I mean, what stands out the most to you?
Well, back to the whole thing about most of us have a last name that ties to our father. And so the whole idea of identity, right? We have so much gender identity, gender confusion. And I truly believe that if dads are more connected, a feeling of connection with your children is what forms their identity. So we can rise up against so much that's happening in the culture, but I think it's the wrong stance, Tim. I think it's rather than a stance of being against what is out there, I say, Dad, focus on what you can be for or toward. Turn your heart. That's the command that God gives. Turn your heart toward your children, which means softer responses, less anger, more listening, more attunement, more attachment, and focus more on what you can do rather than what isn't working or what's coming against your kids.
Michelle, we hear a lot of the concepts of father thirst, father hunger, in culture. And when you look at fatherlessness, it's pretty sobering. You have about 40% of America's kids will wake up at some point during their life in a home where their biological father doesn't live. Some, what, 27, 30 million kids? I mean, that's a really big deal. So it's hard to deal with fatherlessness in a culture that is so rampant with it. Yet, when you look at and assess where people are on the impact of a father, what some 80-plus percent will say, he's really significant. Matter of fact, probably the greatest social ill of our day is the absence of dad. Yet at the same time, we all agree his influence, his input, his being there matters like crazy. How do you get a voice in the midst of that? How do you speak to it? How do you speak to it at church in conversations over a cup of coffee with someone?
Well, I think like you just said, it is one-to-one. And hopefully those listening to your heart and my heart today are hearing God the Father's heart through us as we implore dads to be more engaged in their children's life. Because we can talk about fatherlessness all day long out there in the world and the culture. But Dad, I want to ask you, if you're listening, how present are you when you are home? Are you actually absent as a father when it comes to putting down your phone so that you can listen more, so that you put down the remote, so that you're less engaged in watching television and more engaged in watching what your children are interested in and joining them in activities that let them know you care, you love, you're dialed in? Because again, I think this posture of saying, how do you as a dad at home invest in your kids, because you are leaving a forever legacy in their lives, and whether or not they're telling you that you have value or, you know, affirming that they want you in their lives, you as the adult, as the father, want to take the initiative and say, the research shows my investment in their lives matters and will have a lasting impact on their, as you mentioned earlier, their cognitive development, their confidence, less body dissatisfaction and healthier weight, more likely to hold steady employment. On and on it goes, the benefits of a dialed-in dad.
Michelle, you have a book out called Let's Talk. It's really a book for dads and daughters. Inside it, you take men on a journey. Let's say this. When girls hit puberty, it gets a little awkward between dad and daughter. We don't know how to hug and touch and make this work. And so there's a phase in there that gets a little clumsy. And there's a tendency to move back away, if you will, a little bit as a dad. Pressing in becomes really important. That's kind of the gift of what you wanted to give to dads. Take us down that journey.
And you're exactly right. That I really believe that the reason God led me to start the ABBA Project for daughters 13 to 30 is right in that awkward place where a lot of dads say, yeah, she's developing. I don't want to touch her in the wrong place. And I'm saying, Dad, you've got to know she doesn't feel any different about who she is. And she's already awkward as her body's changing. You don't want to reinforce that. I'll always remember the day I was getting a pedicure, sitting alongside a woman talking about, oh, I love, you know, helping dads dial into their daughter's heart. And the story began to unfold. She said, my dad's no longer living, probably a gal about 30 years old, and said, I don't know what happened, but when I was 13-ish, right in there, my dad just stopped hugging me. I always thought it was something wrong with me. I'd done something bad or something inherent had changed that made me unlikable. This dad I know would have never known. That's how his backing off was interpreted by his daughter. So Dad, I hope that that story can touch your heart today to say, if I've been backing off, it's time for me to turn that around. It's never too late, Dad, to change course and to turn back toward your daughter, because she needs more safe touch from you now into puberty, perhaps than even before. And that's how you can safeguard her hunger, as you talked about earlier, or her thirst to go in the wrong direction. We all know the song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And it's because of a void or often a hunger for more safe touch. Model that to her, Dad. That's the best antidote and safeguard you can have toward her choosing the dude or the dud.
Let's talk about what else is in there. What kind of nuggets can you give to us, especially in that bond? I think a lot of dads, they figured out the father-son thing pretty easy. You know that? We get outside, we get into the action love thing. What else should a dad be giving to his daughter?
Well, Dad, oftentimes you may assume that because you're not a woman, you're like, hey, go to your mom and ask that. Hey, mom, you understand more probably how to be more emotionally or verbally engaged with her. She's wearing me out with her words and her emotions. And I say, Dad, that's a cop-out. You don't get to fall on that one. And I look at what you do in sports and you don't give up. So even though this is hard work with your daughter to be more emotionally engaged or to be more verbally skilled in listening longer, I say, Dad, make it practical. If you really struggle with listening and you're like, she left me a couple exits back on the freeway and she's still going, practice expanding your listening by 1 minute each time you listen. You're like, okay, work on that skill set because your daughter needs you to listen. She needs you not to put her down for her emotional wiring. God gave her that wiring. We know there's 11% more neurons in women's brains with how they can handle emotion and how they can listen, and men tend to shut down. And I'm saying, but you can work on that. Anything that has value to you, Dad, you'll work on that in other areas of your life. So to know that your daughter needs you to listen, I think it's so amazing that God gave us two ears and one mouth. I think it's a reminder to listen twice as much as we talk, and that's something you can work on. So your daughter needs you to listen. She needs you to drop your anger. She needs you to be more emotionally attuned, which is asking questions. Dad, I've got a practical action step for you, because I find men, you love action heroes because they take action. So for you to be a hero that your daughter needs, and that you need to be, here's a practical way, Dad, that you can stay engaged when you maybe find yourself wanting to tune out, is that you want to listen for the key word in her sentence or the last word of her sentence. And then you remember in grade school where we all learned who, what, when, where, why, how? Add a who, what, when, where, use why the least. It tends to be a looping question. Why'd you do that? I don't know. And then pair it up with what she just said. So she may say, you know, you ask her, how was school today? And she says, fine. And you go, good. Because on Mars, the planet men are from, we're from Venus, men say, if she wanted to tell me more, she'd tell me more. No. On Venus, we say, if you want to know more, you'll ask more. So Dad, what if you practiced this skill set and said, if you ask her, how was school? She goes, fine. You go, good. What about your day was fine? She may say, well, you know, that guy, like, you know, Austin, like, inquired today, like, he looked at me and I was so embarrassed because everybody was looking at me. And you go, I don't know what to ask next. Who is Austin? Where were you in class when he looked at you? What did everyone say or do when he looked at you? It will let her know you heard her. So it's a double benefit, because we as women figure things out by talking. And when you listen as your daughter talks, she will bond with you. She will know you care, and she will open up just like a flower that's saying, my dad cares. My dad wants to know me. So what do you think, Tim? Is that practical enough?
I like it. Let's Talk is the book. It really is about conversation starters for dads and daughters. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. My special guest today, Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. Michelle, can't stress enough how dads, believe it or not, people think that they're distant. They really don't care. Virtually every dad I've talked to, you say, how you doing as a dad? You know what he'll say to me? I think about it every day. I do. And they do care. They may not make the adjustment, which is shameful, but nevertheless, they think about it, Michelle. And I do think if we can put just general skills out there for them to practice, the doing of it, you heard him saying, with some guidance and some importance behind it, say, listen, this is the kind of stuff that matters. That begins to move the needle, Michelle. I really believe that.
Tim, that's why in this book, Let's Talk Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters, I wrote scripts on 60 topics so dads don't have to reinvent the wheel. So that if any dad says, well, I don't know what to say to keep the conversation going, I'm saying, Dad, these are broken up into five themes. Teach her or lead her is actually the words that I used, because I want dads to be equipped to lead with more intention and consistency in pursuing their daughter's hearts. It's lead her to love. Love herself and then others, lead her to look, lead her to lament about going to hard places and wounds, maybe from you, or grief that she's never shared with you. It could be for a pet she lost years ago, or it could be a job she's lost. It could be a friend. It could be anything where you as a dad then get to listen. It's lead her also to look, like I said, under the hood, deeper things that are hard, or depression and anxiety, or cutting, or cyberbullying, or sexting. And then it ends with listen, where dad, you get to give her the book and she can ask you questions about your life. Like, dad, tell me about a mistake you learned the hard way that no one ever taught you, because she will internalize resilience as she hears what you've overcome. And so dad, there's no excuse now to say, well, I didn't know how to keep the conversation going. Let your daughter pick one of the themes. And then for that dad-daughter date, which I would encourage you, dad, to do once a month minimum, with one daughter at a time, and bring your pen, bring the book, let's talk, and write in the margins what she tells you. It becomes your playbook. I know your daughter didn't come with one, but I'm gonna help you write a playbook. And you get to write down what she tells you, which lets her know, wow, I didn't think what I had to say was all that important, but my dad says it's important enough, he's gonna write it down.
Michelle, my daughter Megan often calls me while she's driving to work or whatever. And usually it's not about anything in particular. It's just say, hey, hear your voice, that kind of thing. And next thing you know, we're moving into conversation, discussions about issues, just simply because we connected. And just the doing of it really begins to set the table to engender, I think, safety. I like the word friendship. They're going to look to you, and you're never going to, again, stop being a parent. But Michelle, I want to jump real quick. We're fighting time. There are many listening who grew up and it wasn't okay with dad. The wound's pretty open and deep. Michelle, what do you begin to say to the woman listening? And how do you begin having a conversation with her about how to move through that, to try and make sense out of maybe what doesn't make sense?
Well, first of all, I just want to say from my heart to yours, I'm so sorry you've been hurt. The second thing I want to say is most of it, probably all of it, is not about you. It's not your fault. It's your dad's own brokenness and his own wounding that has carried over to you, but it's his stuff. Number three, you've got a father in heaven who's written your name on the palm of his hand, and he adores you and he calls you his own. And I also, Tim, have come up with a model, H-E-A-L. If you're listening and you say, I'm so stuck in anger, or I'm stuck in sadness, and I don't know how to move through where my dad has wounded me. And the encouragement I want to give you is you can move past the hurt, through the hurt is really more accurate. But H-E-A-L-H, honestly face the pain. Sit with it, write it out, journal it out, trust someone, a counselor, a pastor, a mentor, with how you've been hurt. Give it a voice. E, express the hurt. Get it out, because if you don't, it's just like a wound that festers, whether it's journaling, you know, beating with a bat on a pillow, crying it out, talking it out. A is allow another to walk with you. You aren't intended to do this processing alone. And L, then let go, which is a word for forgiveness, is letting go of the pain so that you're not limited in the same way your father was. And you can move not only away from those hurts by letting them go, but then you run to a father that Luke 15, 20 in the prodigal son says, your father in heaven does five things. He stands there looking at you. He sees you. He's filled with compassion. He'll run towards you, throw his arms around you, embrace you, and kiss you. And that's the kind of heavenly father you have to help heal your wounds.
We're made for a relationship with our Father God. We're made for a relationship with our earthly father. There are natural things, natural affections that should take place. And when it's not the way it's supposed to be, what happens is you can begin to reach in other directions to fill the longing, this longing that God hardwired into your heart. I don't need him. I don't care about him. What you're saying something, Michelle, and you got to be really careful in there. And you're right. That heal journey becomes really important, because if you don't, you're going to be probably caught up in some type of spin that you don't even really pay attention to, but you're reaching, you're searching, you're desperate for the love of your own father.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And then to know that God already went ahead of the time you were born and the hurt that you've experienced, and he's already said, I have sent my son to walk among you, to be hurt like you. We read that in Hebrews that Jesus had loud cries and tears, and they went to his father. So that pain has to go somewhere, to someone, or like you just said so well, Tim, or we go in the wrong direction to try to assuage a wound or to fill a void. And so to know that God has already reached out towards you, he's not abandoned you. He says, your walls are ever before me, and that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place. And that kind of intense agape love can help heal any wounded heart.
Michelle, that's the cry of the soul. And ultimately, when we're able to experience that with our Heavenly Father, you know it's transformational. And what a beautiful representation of what the Heavenly Father's love is all about when you have that earthly Father's love. And so, Michelle, I want to close this way. Dad, if you don't realize it, man, you better get this figured out quick. You matter so much more than maybe you even could imagine. And if you could own that, and you could be a part of that. And by the way, it's never too late to become a good father. Maybe a little difficult, maybe a little more troubling at this point of life or wherever you're at or what you've been through. But nevertheless, you can still step into that place.
Amen. I absolutely stand with you. And I love that you said it may be more complicated. It will be, because there's more water under that bridge. But yet, Dad, if you come with humility and you ask your son or your daughter, tell me how I hurt you when... Own it without defensiveness and say, will you forgive me? That will rebuild a bridge to your daughter's heart, to your son's heart in a way like nothing else will.
To all the dads out there who are showing up at the game, your kids see you. I mean, I really believe that. They do. They look in the stands. We all do, young or old, male or female. We look in the stands for our dad and consider his presence, by the way, and his impact. One of the greatest treasures of life. Dad, I hope you'll... Hope you'll be there. Michelle, what a delight to have you. What a great conversation. That was fun. If people want to learn more about you, where can they go?
Yes, you can go to drmichellewatson.com. I've got free resources, PDFs. I do a Dad Daughter Friday blog every other week. I've got the Dad Whisperer podcast and a couple of books. My goal is really to resource and equip men to lead in pursuing their daughter's hearts.
On behalf of our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, and my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, co-host, we salute you. Pray for you, and thank you again so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. A kind word might make someone's day, or it might save someone's life. You see, words are like seeds. Some destroy and some heal. I once heard a story about a student on the verge of dropping out until a teacher simply said, "I believe in you." That single sentence shifted the trajectory of that student's life. Neuroscience shows that verbal affirmation releases dopamine, which boosts focus, resilience, and even physical health. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." Encouragement is not fluff, it's fuel. It lifts, restores, and empowers. So your call to action, choose one person today. And don't just say something nice. Say something specific and life-giving. Because when you do, you'll begin to speak to their soul and not just their surface.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.